Paul Wallace is an internationally best-selling author, researcher, and scholar of ancient mythologies. Over the last decade, Paul's work has probed the world's mythologies and ancestral narratives for the insights they hold on our origins as a species and our potential as human beings. As a senior churchman, Paul served as a church doctor, a theological educator, and an archdeacon in the Anglican Church in Australia. Paul's work in church ministry has included training pastors in the interpretation of biblical texts. His work in biblical translation and interpretation has revealed a forgotten layer of ancient story, with far-reaching implications for our understanding of human origins and our place in the cosmos. In this video, Paul sits down with Regina Meredith, host of Gaia TV's Open Minds, to confront the uncomfortable truths buried in those ancient texts and the lasting impact their mistranslations continue to have on us today.
Now we're going to move on to the seal that was found. Was it the southern wall of Temple Mount?
Yes.
What was this all about?
Oh, this was so exciting. This was just last year, while I was writing the Eden Enigma,
okay.
This happened.
Okay.
The seal was discovered, the seal of Yehoezer. And the significance of it is, when we read the Bible today, we're reading a story of monotheism. When we think of Judaism, we think of monotheistic religion. But there was a time when Judaism was not that. So academics will say it used to be polytheistic. I would say near miss. It was actually a canon of paleocontact. The ancestors of the Jewish people commemorated a whole range of beings, just like the Urartians did, who had visited them in the past, helped them in the past, some of them exploited them in the past, some of them, all these beings washing around in the biblical text. And then there was a great reform. From the 8th to 6th century BCE, the stories were retold. The Bible, as we know it, was put together. There was a ritual reform. Various priesthoods shut down, temples demolished, and Judaism was pared down to Yahwist monotheism. But this seal comes from a time before that had happened. And so it belonged to a Jewish leader who would use the seal to solemnize his documents and seal his letters. And the image on it is of an Assyrian genie or an Assyrian god or a tingir, to use that word. And he saw no problem with using that image. He saw no conflict between that and his Judaism, because this was before the Reform,
right,
when the Jewish people understood that their Elohim, their advanced beings, were all part of this wider family of beings whose stories were told in every culture around the world. So the seal is a little window into that ancient time before all the modern boundaries of religion that we think of today, when people remembered what the Elohim looked like, what the Anunnaki looked like. And that was the image that he used.
That's so fascinating.
It was a time when people remembered what the gods looked like.
So you said, I believe it was the
8th to 6th century BCE,
where the structure of the gods was narrowed down to essentially Yahweh.
That's
in the Hebrew faith.
That's right.
And then it was narrowed down in around the it would have been the 13th century BCE. In Egypt, it was narrowed down to the monotheism of one god that was the sun. So that had already happened in Egypt, but it wasn't an ET per se, or it wasn't an entity with a face. It was the sun itself.
Yes.
And then the hierarchy of the dimensions of the sun.
The reforms in the Jewish faith had a huge political implication, just as they did in Egypt.
Oh, yeah, it went down badly.
But it was kind of the other way around for Judaism, because it was a centralizing of power where you had one God, one king, one high priest, one temple, all the tithes going to that one place.
Yeah.
And it was part of achieving an easily governed theocratic society.
Mm.
That's what they created.
Okay, so now let's go to, because we're talking about both controlling and opportunistic gods, and we're talking about those who came to assist humanity. So one of the stories that you look into, it happened in the Hawaiian culture, the Ahumanu. Let's go there now.
The story of the arrival of the mo'o, the dragons, and the Ahumanu in the Hawaiian stories is basically a story of invasion. It's a very ancient story in which these beings come and colonize the lands of their ancestors. So all traditional ownership of the land is now irrelevant. The land belongs to the mo'o, the Ahumanu, and it is divided up so that the place could be managed. So now people, just to live, have to pay rent to the higher ups just to live on the land. And you can create scarcity, dependence. And one way in which they did this was introduce a money system. So now you need the money to pay the rents. So instead of working for yourself or your community, you're working for money. And the money is issued by the invaders. So you're working for the invaders. And then the money you're paid is devalued year after year. So just to maintain your standard of living, you're going to work ever harder.
That sounds familiar, right?
It sounds familiar. It's an ancient, ancient story. But when I heard that story, I thought, oh my goodness, I understand this world. This is the world we live in. And I think a lot of the time, when we think about ancient ancestral story, we think it's a story about the past. It's really a lens to help us understand the world in which we live.
Yes. And so we're talking about usurious entities that are trying to create structure and order where they control and they gain. That's what we have today, basically. And so, you know, that's often called throughout history, they're called the, and certainly now, these people are called the elite, which I take great exception to. It just burns me when I hear people calling them the elite, because they're bottom feeders. They're feeding off of the efforts and energy of good people. That's a bottom feeder. And so why did we start calling them the elite instead of predators? They're predators.
Well, I think because the invaders become the Department of Education. And they call themselves the elite. So, I mean, I would give the story of Ghana as an example of this, because this is my family story.
Okay.
So my family on my father's side is Ghanaian. From the 1820s on until 1950, Britain sort of took control of Ghana. And the way it was framed, obviously they went in because they had a lot of weaponry, and they said, we can defend you against your enemies. Oh, thank you, says Ghana. And bit by bit discovers the British are there for the British, not for the Ghanaians. But the story runs that obviously the British are superior. They are more sophisticated. They're running the show. They're running the legal system. They're running the banks. They're running the schools. And if you want to progress in British Ghana, then start dressing British. Start speaking the Queen's English. And a lot of Ghanaian people for a long time bought into that, where they were made to feel inferior and regard the British as the elite, because that was the story the British told. And that's, you can look at any invasion
all over the world.
It's the same pattern everywhere.
I think we need to take our power back and stop calling these usurious factions the elite. They're not. They're users and controllers.
I agree.
They're predators.
A great shortcut to doing that is Jim Henson's movie.
What? Tell us.
The Dark Crystal. I when I watched this movie,
you're talking Muppets.
Yeah, yeah. It is Muppets.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, this is a fun kids movie. I like Muppets. And the story runs that this land has been invaded and taken over by very long-lived beings who are ugly bird people, and very much like the Ahumanu in the Hawaiian story. And they predate upon the innocent childlike gelflings. And they'll often capture them, terrorize them, and then they'll extract the essence of the gelflings, which they feed on so they can carry on living long. Well, I watched this as a kid's movie long time ago. Now I'm realizing that's actually
Jim
our
Henson
world.
Was onto something.
He's telling us a truth about our world. But when you see it that way, and you see the silly, ugly bird people, you wouldn't call them elite. You would say they were the evil beings. And watch that movie, and it will just reframe. You will never talk about the elite again after you've watched The Dark Crystal.
Okay, I love it. The Dark Crystal.
You'll call them Jim the bird Henson. People.
Oh, the bird people. Okay. I'll probably still call them bottom feeders or predators, but okay. So right now, as the structures in our government, which all governments, I mean, the time is up. The old post-industrial era structures need to kind of fall down now because they've outlived their function and usefulness, and too many people were used as fodder. I mean, it really was in this elite power structure that these systems were designed, including our educational systems, our medical systems. So I think we're all on the same page. These systems have to transform, and it's going to happen probably in a very chaotic way. We're seeing it already.
To watch the full interview, available exclusively on Gaia, follow the link in the description or head to our Gaia portal at gaia.com/fifthkind.